Welcome to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, another independence declaring kind of individual, Dr. Judy Mikovits. Now, this is we're talking to her. This is March 17th, 2021 in the AM. And Dr. Judy, we found out that she had been taken off a plane for not wearing their mask. You know, she
correct.
Had a mask on and she knew what she was doing. And these are real masks that, you know, do real good with copper and silver and actually work, and that it just wasn't good enough. So I want Donna to get a photograph of the actual mask, and you gave us the name of it and the URL for us to find it and use it because it is effective. So
right.
What's the name of that Donna should look up?
Well, I'll send Donna a slide.
Oh, you got it in today's archive? Donna already has it up there. Boom. She's waiting.
Yeah. Okay. It's important not to say it on the air because the CEO of the company called me and said they'll go after him and shut him down. And then we have no defenses. We have no help. We have no real true thing. So for right now, we'll just leave it up there and talk about, the fact that, yes, I had there are no FDA approved masks for anything, and there never have been. And the fact of the matter is, the blue paper surgical mask is what the flight attendant tried to force on me for the entire flight. As you mentioned, I've worn these other masks, these silver copper masks, they have three layers, two silver mesh layers with a copper mesh, a copper layer in between. They are the safest, most effective mask out there. There's decades.
And you can breathe, right?
You can absolutely breathe.
Okay, and now so- this is, I want to get, to the detail. Let's walk through what happened. Now, you were on your way from where to do what?
I was leaving Santa Barbara Airport to go to the Medical Academy of Pediatric Special Needs Conference, Orlando, Florida, which my talk would have been March 11th. I was then going to move to the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology in Sarasota on the 13th, which was last Saturday. I was in both of those talks, which the first one was CME, Continuing Medical Education Approved. I had electron micrographs and papers in the first parts of both of those talks, and I'll send those slides to Donna, showing the fibers, the nanofibers, the carbon, the bits, the dangers in those blue paper masks, in the plastic mask, and in the cotton mask, the toxic fluoride compounds, which I was showing to the oral medicine and toxicology. So I had those slides. I had my mask book in my briefcase. I sat in the I arrived at Santa Barbara Airport about an hour early, and went through security where he said, take off your mask, take off your hat, take off your glasses. No problem. Went through security, did my thing, sat in the waiting area. I had a first class ticket on American.
No, wait. When you go, there's a point to where they have you take off your mask during TSA check-in.
Yeah, so they could see who you are, your glasses and your hat.
Okay, well, when does that happen? I never go through with a mask anyway, so I don't know, but I didn't notice that they have people take their masks off.
Well, I absolutely obeyed the rules, and that's what, I put it on as intent when I hit the top of the escalator. Santa Barbara is a very small airport, so there was no one in there at 10 o'clock in the morning in the lobby. So when I hit the top of the escalator and there was anyone anywhere near me, I put on the silver mask. I obeyed absolutely every one of the rules. He asked me to take it off. Well, I had a hat on that said, "We the People," a red hat. And otherwise, I had a business suit jacket, a nice sweater, and a pair of jeans, as I always travel professionally to meetings. I wasn't in your face. I didn't have my normal, advertisement 1776 Freedom or.
It's not gay. It's only TSA or anything. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That, I was not in your face. I was absolutely professional. Sat down in the gate area, got a cup of coffee, sat down in the gate area, had the mask on when I wasn't sipping the coffee, got a phone call from a doctor for a meeting I'm supposed to appear at in Arizona, but that's now gone online. And she called and I said, and she said, Judy, I need your CME slides. And I said, oh, doctor, I'm very sorry. How about take a quick look at these slides? And I sent her two sets of slides for this conference. I said, because they're already CME approved. She said, thanks so much. I said, just change the background so it doesn't say the other meeting. She said, I can do that. So I sent them to her. And when I hung up the phone, several, maybe three or four young women who were from Arizona, this flight was stopping in Phoenix, said, I'd know that voice anywhere. Are you Dr. Judy? And I said, yes. And we basically sat there for the next half hour and talked about the fact that they were going back to Arizona, showed me the picture of about a 60-year-old man in perfect health, a friend or an uncle, I'm not quite sure, who had dropped dead. He ran 6 miles a day and he dropped dead from the vaccine. And they were all going back, devastated, obviously, to services or something. And they just said, we were all sitting there saying what bullshit this was. In the gate area, they kept over again, it's federal law that you wear these masks the entire time. And we all said almost simultaneously, not the law. Show me the code of law. FAA doesn't make laws, and what they are saying is not true. But otherwise, we were talking at a normal level. We just basically, I just got up when they called for first class because I was in seat 2D, and obviously I asked the Medical Academy of Pediatric Special Needs to buy, since I was only requiring a one-way ticket because I would return home at the expense of the other meeting. They said, yeah, we can do that. And I do the first class ticket, of course, because I can eat and drink and otherwise not drive my lung disease. I absolutely have a lung disease, as pleurisy, and I'm wearing the mask given to me, by a doctor. In fact, the doctor in one of the meetings I was going to, and they wore it successfully. I wore it on a flight with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., same airline, same airport, through Phoenix to go to Ohio Health Freedom. I wore it on a Southwest flight with Reverend Tony Muhammad of the Nation of Islam to go speak with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on December 18th. There was no problem at all. So I got up, I was standing in line, I went to my ticket, I put the phone on the thing, they said, okay, welcome, Ms. Mikovits, and I said, Mikovits, not thinking, I said, Mikovits, thank you very much, have a wonderful day, walked down the ramp to the plane, walked into the plane behind this gentleman sitting in seat 1A, who I think had two masks on, and it's like, whoa, you're dumb. Anyway, so I didn't say a word. I was
this whole mask thing is an IQ test. I just want to throw that out. All right, go ahead.
I walked in. She said, good morning. She reached out to hand me the hand sanitizer. I said, no, thank you very much. Walked to seat 2D. She followed me with her to my back and said, you're not wearing that mask. And I said, pardon me? She said, you're not wearing that mask.
I mean, is she whispering in your ear? Is she yelling it? Is she,
she just followed me down the aisle and said, I'm sorry, that's not appropriate mask. You're not wearing that mask, whatever she said. And I said, pardon me. No, this is absolutely an appropriate mask. It's a mesh mask. It is not a mesh mask. It has two mesh layers, you know, and she's not even looking at it. She goes back. She gets this blue paper, you know, contaminated against Prop 65, which is everything I said, mask, you know, with nanofibers, carbon fibers, whatever.
Okay, now, when you say that, let's clear this up. This was this particular mask was deemed harmful or toxic or whatever by California law, and then Newsom purchased a whole bunch of them anyway, and somebody got a kickback or something. I mean, is that the one you're talking about?
Well, yeah, it's a different order. This was deemed harmful in several publications back to 2015-17, showing that these could drive mesothelioma and lung cancer, which, of course, because of my XMRV infections in my underlying pleurisy, I'm a candidate for lung cancer. And we cannot drive the lung cancer in my lungs or anybody else's. And then this is what the papers I was showing at the conference showed. They weren't 2018. So these masks are absolutely, when they're sprayed with Teflon, when they have PFOAs, the plastic ones have the plastic, all of those are against Prop 65. And Newsom bought them from China, you know, knowing they're going to drive the disease. She's handing this to me. It says right on the back of the wrapper that it is not acceptable for a virus or to stop any infection. It says right there, it's not CDC approved. And this is really not even the discussion. And I, you know, I did say, you know, this is a mask given to me by my doctor. And I really can't say, you know, it's not medically approved, but none of them are. This is a masquerade. This is propaganda masquerading.
So what is she saying? She's going, she's given some, you know, she's a scientist now. I mean, you know, what was her rationale? Right,
what she said, I said, you are not a medical professional. I am Dr. Judy Mikovits, and I am absolutely obeying all the laws, and I'm flying to this medical conference to teach doctors about the toxins in these masks. You know, sorry. And I sat down, and she said, "You are going to say," she's throwing this blue paper mask to me, "You are going to say right now you're wearing that mask the entire flight, or you're off this plane." And I said, "I cannot say that, and I will not say that. I'm sorry, I paid for this ticket and I've done absolutely nothing wrong and I'm going on this flight." And I just sat down and looked out the window, seatbelt on. And
okay, I gotta inject here so we get a full word picture right here. This stewardess was, I guess, the first class senior she's doing for Zeke Hyland for somebody. And she,
yeah,
how old, you know, what kind of experience was she? You know, she'd been with the airline, you know, 5 weeks, 15 years, what?
I don't have any idea. This stewardess literally targeted me.
How old was she?
I would say 40.
Okay, so she wasn't a kid.
Less than. Yeah, no, she was
so
not a kid.
She was a Karen with a uniform?
I don't know what that means.
You know, the Karens going around yelling at everybody for not wearing their masks.
Yeah, she was a Karen with a uniform. She was essentially exactly like the flight attendant on United Airlines on September 20th who did exactly the same thing. But she targeted me after we got up the air and threatened arrest. You'll remember I ran, you know, through the police trying to stop me in that one. And in LAX. So the exact same thing. A Karen trying to, give a nothing a little power.
Did she have short blonde hair?
Yes, I believe she did.
It's a thing, man. I tell you, it's a thing. All right. So she's like, no, you will. It was a battle. She's putting on the show and she's already made up her mind. You are not.
Correct.
To not comply. So what is her action?
She gets the pilot. She calls security. I felt bad, you know, security is the guy who does everything on a plane at a small airport like Santa Barbara.
Did the pilot come back? Did he look at you?
The pilot opened the door and came out and he said, "You're off this plane." And he's wearing the same blue paper mask. And I'm thinking, I don't want to fly with a moron wearing a blue paper mask. Is it over 10,000 feet and going to kill the plane? Yeah, maybe I want to get off this plane. But I said, no, I am not. I've done absolutely nothing wrong and I am not leaving. And I am in
full compliance. See, I'm wondering where this will go on that. I mean, you know, it's their plane. They do whatever the hell they're being stupid. You want to point out the stupid. I'm wondering what what right you have other than the, by federal law, you do what the heck the stewardess says and they got a shiny badge this big. I mean,
and that's just simply not true. By federal law and state law, they wheel every ADA person in a wheelchair on that plane. They're required to give us equal access. I had a perfectly acceptable mask doing no better or worse. You want to say it. They don't stop somebody. They this was the first time in the airport I heard you can't wear a bandana. Well, why not? I was not wearing a bandana. I was not wearing a mesh mask. I was wearing a double or triple layered silver mesh mask. But it was three layers and it was not see-through. It was absolutely.
Well, see, the thing is about these with the copper, I think the silver goes next to the skin because it doesn't irritate as much as
correct.
The copper would.
And correct.
Copper, they're talking about doorknobs and the railings and everything in hospitals be coated with, some copper in it and silver and all this other stuff because pathogens and viruses, they can't survive on it.
Correct. It's totally antimicrobial, whether I'm coughing back to myself or on you or anything else. It is the, it is the safest mask.
Yeah, but Dr. Judy, I heard Dr. Fauci's and CD, they're all saying that, your moist face diaper that's got the slimies in it and everything, that's good for you. That's what they said.
No, it is absolutely not. It is
but that's
bacteria.
What they said. They said it. Damn it.
Well, I'm sorry.
Right.
So at any rate, so at that point, this, really sweet man he's the guy, running up and down with the bags and his job is he's security for American Airlines. So he comes in and he says, "Look, ma'am, please get off the plane." And I said, "I am not getting off the plane. I'm very sorry, sir." And he said, "Please get off the plane." And I said, "I'm not." He said, "I can't, if I have to ask you again, they're going to bring the police on here." And I said, "I'm sorry. There is no basis in law. Call the sheriff.
Bring him. Let's do it."
Well, call the sheriff. Yeah. Well, so the police came on the plane. They took the only other guy, the moron in seat 1A with two masks on, off the plane. And the police proceeded to put me in a hold as if.
Okay, now, how many police were there?
Two.
Okay. Now, why did they have the other guy so they can get around?
Oh, so rough me up. So they could rough me up. Well, fortunately, at this point in time, I'm remembering my friend Lori, who says, "You better get a tape of that." So I turned on my phone and I started trying to tape it. The police came. They ripped my left arm away. I put the phone in my right arm. And they're like, and saying, "You're under arrest. You're under arrest for criminal trespassing." I said, "I am not criminal trespassing. I bought a first class ticket on this plane. I obeyed all the rules. This mask is perfectly legal." And by this time, they've taken my mask off. Now my mask is in my right hand with my cell phone, as they're ripping at my hands. So I'm picking my mask up.
Oh, wait a minute. You took the mask off. They took the mask off. What happened?
No, in the conflict, as they're grabbing my hands in front that were in front of me, I'm trying to take my seatbelt off. I'm sitting there in the mask and they literally, it fell on my lap as they're ripping my left arm in a, whatever their hold is, where they put it behind your back and they twist.
Chicken wing. Yeah, I know.
And they stand me up and they slam me against the window. You know, I have a hat on so it doesn't hurt my head. They slam me against the window. They yank my arm and twisted it against the back of my head. You know, think about my left hand being in my head, on the back, twisted. They twisted every way.
Oh, no, it's punitive. They're going to be some pain involved. They want to take care of it.
I literally was seeing stars and screamed. And it literally said, I said, you're hurting me. Stop it or something like that. You know, you have no right to do this, something like that, but screaming. I mean, I saw stars. I almost passed out with the force they inflicted on me. And my arm still is not functioning. So they put the handcuffs on. They tried to rip my phone out of my hand. I said, you cannot touch me. You cannot take my phone. At which point he did take my phone out of my right hand. But I've still got the mask in my right hand. And so they walk me off the plane, get my luggage out of the luggage thing, walk me off the plane. And through the gate area, you know.
Wait. We haven't talked about what the passengers on the plane, are they yelling at the cops? Are they cheering them on? What are they doing?
They took the passengers off the plane.
All of them?
No, there was only one that preceded me. I'm in seat 2D. He was in 1A. The first class had barely started boarding. I was the second person to board the plane.
Okay, so there was nobody on the plane yet.
Correct, but they except the one guy, and they took him off so the police could beat me.
Okay, so there was nobody on the plane to cheer anybody on?
But walking through the lane to get on the plane, where all the people are waiting to get on the plane, there are people saying, you know, literally those three or four women were standing right up front and you could tell they were filming it. And I mouthed something to them like, you know, yeah, show everybody. But remember, I've got no mask on. It's in my hand. So I'm hoping they taped that it was in my hand. And because what was said was that I refused to wear the mask, and that is absolutely not true. And so they portrayed it as something I wanted. And as I'm walking out through the gate area, they're saying, throw away the key. And some morons are literally spitting through their mask. You can hear the, you know, and it's like men in business suits, you know, really, you know, you're that ugly. You know, this has gone to that level. You know,
we've seen this before, Dr. Judy.
3-year-old woman.
We've seen this before. This is 30s Germany. This is what got Gina what's her name, that was canceled, that was on the Mandalorian. And I canceled my free, because I get it with Verizon, Disney Plus, you know, because of this. And the only reason I even had it is because I like the Mandalorian little Baby Yoda thing. Well, right. This woman, what she said, she goes, what got her canceled is she made the comparison. She said the people that were treated like you in 30s Germany was not so much that it was just like the uniforms and the Gestapo and goose stepping and following orders and brown shirts. It was the people. They had created such an hysteria over it's not only encouraged, it's rewarded if you put such peer social pressure that you're spitting through your mask at Dr. Judy coming off the plane. And that's what she said. She goes, it was the people, it was children that were beating up and hurling stones and abusing their Jewish neighbors. It was the people. This is what they're building up to. What you experienced, what happened to you as you got off the plane and the people in line, was exactly what she was talking about. And that's why they canceled her. Because they go, oh, hell no, we can't have a star out here saying this, because that is their end game. That's their goal. That's what they're trying to do. That's what they've been successful in doing on many levels. And you're proof.
Right. Well, I mean, this is, you know, it's, you know, obviously I've been I've been there before, but the level of force used was 10 times more when they arrested me in November 18, 2011. And throughout the 5 days in jail, never was I physically abused.
Okay, now this is, you were arrested before. This was them wanting to get your documentation, and the FBI and pharmaceutical companies were canceling, you know, Dr. Judy and give her a criminal record and everything, because we don't want what she has to say to go viral, which it already has, and they're screwed. So during that process, you know, they're just, you know, kind of being FBI professional of whatever the hell.
Yeah, when Tony Fauci had me arrested last time, let's just be clear. There was no warrant.
Skip to the end.
Yeah, let's skip to the end. I was not going to shut up about his crimes against humanity, and that's what they're doing.
So this, you know, see, that's one thing. They're trying to shut you up or make you comply. And I, you know, I guess the stewardess just didn't understand or didn't get the memo, or, you know, this is just amping it up. Because the first.
Oh, I'm sure she had a blast. I'm sure.
Well, you know, she didn't get what she wanted, because this is what happens. Well, what she wanted is them to come drag your ass off. But
yeah, which she got what she wanted. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's, you know, you just kind of look at the overall long-term balance of this, because when we found out what happened to you, of course, the first thing is we're talking at a freedom community of what happened, and everybody, what? So there's all the buzz at the festival. And then, of course, we put it information on Freedom's Phoenix, and we got whatever we could. We put that, and we keep track of it. And it's one of the most downloaded articles on the site. So there's obviously interest in what happened to you. So I don't think it's going to go the way they hoped. But after they had taken you off of the plane, they take you to where? You know, is there like a, you know, airport cell thing? What?
No, they took me to the curb way away from the front of the airport to two, you know, rent-a-cops. I didn't call them that this time. You know, Santa Barbara City Police, Airport Police was what I believe the car said. There were these, you know, SUV kind of police vehicles parked way off to the left of the airport, where people don't walk in. And so I'm in handcuffs, and I was in those handcuffs for at least an hour. You know, maybe slightly less than that. And they're, again, still twisting the arm that hurts so bad. I can't move my fingers, and they're still to this day numb on my left hand. And so, so they take me out to the car, where they proceed, to say, you're signing this citation of criminal trespassing. And I said, I am not. And they said, then we'll take you to Santa Barbara City Jail. I said, call the sheriff. And yeah. I said it a dozen times, call the sheriff, call the sheriff, call the sheriff. I've done nothing wrong. Call the sheriff. And they said, we're not calling the sheriff. We're the police here. This is annexed to the airport, is annexed to Santa Barbara City. And I'm like, no, there is no crime. The sheriff will not. The sheriff knows this is not law. You're violating my constitutionally protected, God-given right to breathe the air. No, you're violating my rights. No, I'm not signing it. And they said, then we'll take you. And at one point they tried to shove me in the vehicle and hurting me again. I said, you're hurting me. Stop it. You're hurting me. And I'm usually screaming at that point. And I think I said, you're hurting me, motherfucker, but probably more than once. and finally they said, look, you're going there unless you sign this document. It's not an admission of guilt. It simply says you'll show up and appear. And I said, I will not appear. I've done nothing wrong. I will not appear. You know, and I said, give me my phone. I'm calling my lawyer. You could do that later. After I sign a document that puts me in a system I don't want to be in. This is undue force. I said, under duress and whatever, but I didn't know to sign it that way. So finally, I signed the citation. At one point they said, look, I said, I'll sign it. you know, and as they're twisting, I'll sign it, you know,
under duress.
And I'm ashamed of myself for doing that because they were hurting me to the point where, and the other policeman, I never saw his face, you know, after we left the plane, he's behind me and you don't know if he's got a gun. There's something right in the center of my back, either a finger or whatever. And so, you know, and I'm so far off the airport, they can shoot me or beat me like they did on the plane where nobody sees it and said I was violent. And so you, at this point, you realize they can do anything they want to you. And so I'm like, I'll sign it. He said, if I take this handcuff off, you know, you sign this thing and you can look at my signature on that. I've signed thousands of books. I guarantee you this is not my signature. You know, this is under duress. This is, my hand would hardly work.
Are you left-handed?
No.
Okay. So,
but my other hand wasn't in any better shape. You know, right. You're shaking like a leaf. You're,
I'm hip.
I'm full well damaged at that point.
Okay. Know? So they coerce you.
Yeah. Undue force.
Into signing this document. And then, correct. Thank you, ma'am.
And then they let me go. And then they let me go and say, if you so much as walk in that airport, I couldn't even go to the bathroom. You know, by then most people would have wet their pants. Don't go anywhere near the airport. You know, I called my husband and my friend Lori and they picked me up. They turned around and came back they got there about 45 minutes later. That's how far the drive is. And then they, you know, took me home, actually straight to my lawyer, my favorite criminal lawyer, David Poland, where I'm going right now.
Okay. Now, where is the arraignment? Is there arraignment? Is there a trial?
Yeah, there. So this thing, this citation had a date, I believe it's 8/15. I mean, April 15th, April 15th. On, you know, in Santa Barbara courthouse. So I have to find that out today, you know, whether, you know, I'm telling my lawyer right now that I want to operate totally under Article 3 of the Constitution and I want a jury trial. And I've told the world, you know, and I'll get the exact date of this, but I mean the exact location, date and time, but I've told everybody show up at that courthouse and we'll be outside inside and we'll demand with, you know, and I'm going to get a press corps. We're going to do a press conference. I've already had several people volunteer to come film this event and show the world what's happening.
Yeah, no, I've been through, I'm an activist. I know how this works. They never want to do what you want to do the way that it's going to, should be done. But you go through the process anyway, and we'll help cover and do whatever. And, you know, you never know, the dates might work out that we might have the love bus there. I mean, we got,
oh, that'd be fun. I believe, you know, it's April 15th and I'll let you know.
Okay. Yeah. Let me know.
But I'm supposed to be in a meeting in Milwaukee on April 17th. And I was supposed to be at my father's 90th birthday right around then. I'm not going to say when.
Keep us informed of this. And if it changes, and yeah, I think that's worth a love bus, you know. Let me know. We'll work what we can. We'll rearrange some stuff that we eventually make it to, you know, West Coast anyway. So might as well we'll just do that first. What the hell? But the go ahead and let me know, and okay, we'll get this scheduled, and we'll see what we can do. And, you know, some sign everywhere. A sign doesn't hurt. So,
right.
And plus the information, this is, it's a death of a thousand cuts against the control, the mind screwing, the misinformation of what, because they don't want to portray this however they want to do. And right. I can give a bunch of examples and I don't want to taint your story with a bunch of these other examples, but I've been through this before and it all comes down to general public opinion. That's why in every news story, everything, they're going to have a pre-government press release that's going to talk about how you were arrested, you know, before in going up against these very same people, you know, and they're going, well, she's, you know, tainted and done, which is why people love you and want you to go speak and all their stuff, because you've already proved yourself to be, bring it on, let's do it, you know. And it's, I hate to see someone roughed up like this. And I've been in these situations. I've been arrested several times in my activism, but never convicted. And it's always dismissed, right? We're ready to go. We'll go, woo, and dismissed, you know? But they need right. to have some kind of criminal thing if they got a civil case that's coming, which I would imagine you want to press this, because it's always about discovery. You know, what are you basing this on? Where do you get this? Where did this power come from? How, based on what
song? Right.
I mean, you know, they have no idea what they stepped into. You know, so it they,
right. this,
these are the kind of cases that you have it all ready to go, ooh, go can dismiss, or not allowed, or you don't get. Now, they'll even come up with national security or some other crap, you know? So
right.
to the degree that you really have an impact on them, it's going to right. be the degree that they try and make it go away. And they're, you know, they do settlements, or they'll, you know, capitulate, or they'll something. But by the time this goes to trial, I'm thinking this thing may be over. This is going to go at any time. And it's the only way that this stops is when we stop complying.
Right.
You will be, even though I'm sure you're not the first or the last.
No.
Maybe the, you know, the one that, you know, you wouldn't get up to, you know, get off the plane, just like somebody wouldn't get up to go to the back of the bus. I mean, it's always takes somebody. You know, there's always the Rosa Parks, Dr. Judy, somebody, you know, that's, you know, not doing it. So, you know, bring it. So we're going to follow this, because a lot of times the problem is that you don't have the right person that understands the issue and what's going on. So what do we learn, you know, from your experience? One, if you do sign it, it's under duress. Okay. You write that under duress, rights reserved. Whatever you got to, you know, put on there and make yourself feel better. But, you know, you have to go through some pain. The reason is, I remember this from talking to some POWs, seeing documentaries and them coming to my school and all that when I was in eighth grade in the mid 70s. And I remember them saying that you always made them work for whatever information the torturer wanted from you. And if they just go in and you just started blathering away, oh yeah, and he did it and they did it and go over here and the secret code is and what, you know, that, no, you have to go. So they had some kind of standard for themselves. Yeah, you know, draw a little blood, cause a little pain, get you on a not, and your tolerance would go up as time went on, but you always, always made them work for it. You made them work for it enough, I think. So the thing is that for other people, I want you to understand that you can, you know, be cooperative in it, just get standing, which I've done. Yeah, no, you know, hey, nobody's got to die. Nobody's got to get hurt here. You know, yeah, you put your hands up, let's arrest me. Let's do this. You know, I got standing and we'll go through and lawsuits prevail and, you know, nobody gets hurt. Or you can go, nope, I need you to, I'm not complying. I'm just sitting down and, you know, let's go through the process. I've done both many times. And I think in your situation, you need to, they have to see themselves as the tyrants. They need to be the torturer. They need to go through what they did to the little old lady that later they'll find out to comply with something that was stupid, 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 stupid. And if you want to know how we get in these totalitarian regimes and how this drags out for as long as it does, this is it. Because you don't have enough people like Dr. Judy just saying no. And sometimes to stand up for something, you just gotta sit down. Well, that's what she did. And I've used that phrase several times over the years. Sometimes you just gotta sit down and just not comply. So I'm very sad that you had to go through this, but I think you know and we knew that sooner or later this was gonna happen. And were you surprised at how aggressive they were in inflicting pain? I mean, getting you, you know, picking you up. And, you know, if I wanted to get Dr. Judy up, you know, and you know, I was a wrestler and whatever, I can, without hurting you, you know, I can get you to move, or we can whatever. But did you think that they were using pain gratuitously, unnecessarily? Was it to inflict pain on you as a punitive measure? Dr. Judy? Oh, did I lose her? Maybe she's answering a phone during my rant. Dr. Judy? Dr. Judy? Well, hopefully she'll come back here in a little bit. This is...
Hey, I'm back.
Okay, what happened?
I don't know. It just cut out. I'm driving, so it must have hit a dead spot.
Well, this is one thing that I wanted to ask you. I described to the audience the question, but do you think that they were...
Right.
Gratuitous in their pain infliction? Did they need to do what they needed to do? Or was it for compliance? Well, we had to do whatever it is. She wasn't compliant. Got to comply. Pain's the best complier. Or were they, you know, even after you were out of the seat and so on, were they trying to be punitive in their pain infliction?
Yes, they were. They did that on purpose. As I said, he was enjoying it, and so was the stewardess. They were going to teach me a lesson and show anybody, and I'm not saying they knew it was Judy Mikovits. They were just going to show anybody what happened if they dare to say a word on their flight or do anything. They were going to show them, you know, the level of suffering. They were going to make, you know, whoever scream, but yeah.
This is what always happens. There's always, they do this to everyone, then all of a sudden they do it to the wrong person. I've been in activism, I can't even keep track of how many times. All of a sudden, like in Washington, D.C., some protest, and they were very abusive to an ambassador's daughter. Oh, well, that got all the attention. You know, that changed everything. Then you have, you know, being abusive, different activists that got big channels of doing it. Oh, then that changes everything. If they do this on a regular basis and they're not justified in what they're doing, you don't have all the people clapping, yeah, I got to go get them terrorists or whatever. It shows them for what they are. And the biggest thing that they are is they're just not informed, or the information that they have is keep your job. You do what we tell you to do and you better go do it. And yeah, everything else be damned. So and especially when you got a federal, and this is what I'm seeing as I go around the country. Donna and I have had a mask on in the last year, maybe 4 or 5 times. I mean, it was one, you know, on a flight back, on the flight out, you know, they didn't require, and then all the Karens took our picture. And then on the way back, boy, they made sure you got it. And then I just put it over my eyes and went to sleep and dared them to bother me. But the other time I pay a green fee at a retirement community to go golfing, you know, so I'm like, yeah, whatever. And did that for, you know, a few minutes. Then there was going into a Verizon, and then, but any other time somebody will say something to us, we just walk out. When we were in Texas, we went to a Mexican restaurant. We were looking for, oh, go get some extra. We saw that one over there, and we went and bought some of those, go there. So we go in, and this is like a day or two after they had, you know, the statewide ban on our requirement for masks had been lifted. So we go in and they go, oh, I'm sorry, you have to have a mask. And we just go, okay. And we just turned around walking out. They ran out the door and they grabbed and said, oh, no, it's okay. We just found it's not required. You come back. And I go, okay. So we went back in. But, you know, that was the only time they ever chased me down. But usually we just leave. Now, the thing is that this process, this educational process of doing this, that is where we have the power, is with our money. And the airline industry, what are they regulated by? Federal. What is the telecommunications industry? Federal. So you have like T-Mobile or Verizon. I asked one guy, I go, tell me when I leave, you guys take off all these masks. I mean, seriously. And he goes, and he looked up and he goes, camera, 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 camera. They're monitoring them all the time. So anything that has a federal license associated with it, like airlines, like telecommunications, and you know, federal court buildings or whatever, they are the most, we are going to put the freaking face on this thing, and that's the way it's going to be. Okay, so I am seeing that this is starting to wane. They don't have the support of the people. And with people like you and the information that you have and what will come out from this, I think it's they're seeing the end days of this mass thing. But Biden's going to want to make some claim of, you know, we're free 4th of July and thanks for voting Democrat. But what's going to happen is there's going to be a lot of damages that are already happening with the vaccines and the masks, and other countries have already dropped their mandate and support of the vaccines because it's causing immediate damages. And this is happening here in the U.S. too, which you predicted. So I mean, I hate to say this. I'm not glad it happened. I'm satisfied with the result. I know what's going to happen. And we need to get activists there just to be, and I know it's going to happen right when you get there and it's all, we're going to get some, and here's the press and it's canceled, dismissed of never mind, nothing to see here, you know, or they double down right. And really go after you. I think we're past that time. They are not going to allow you your day in the sun on this. So we got to have a big,
they never have ever did on anything.
Well, we got to have a big presence regardless. It's going to be a rally of the speech
right.
To the park of the something, you know, bring the love bus. All right, you get it,
right.
But you got a plan. When you do this, every single time they have changed the date, they changed the time, they alter the thing, they do the what. So you got to plan on it. Doesn't matter what they do. There is a particular evening after court time or something that day, we're going to have us a party anyway. Okay. So I just,
right.
It's not going to be dependent on them. Don't let them determine it, which means it has to be a flash mob. It has to be unorganized, unscripted, not at a certain location or at a, you know, forest, park or something. I mean, you got to have it to where it's out of their control, because that's what they seek more than anything else is control, to mess up your plan, your press conference. So I know, man, everybody listening, mark it down. That's how it's going to roll out. So you have to plan, you know, to thwart that. So that's what I want to help with.
Sounds great.
All right, we're on it. Oh, you went through this, Dr. Judy.
Yeah.
So the next step now is you're meeting with, you're on your way to your lawyer?
Yeah, I'm on my way to my favorite criminal lawyer, David Folan. He's the silver haired guy in the movie Plandemic. Sweet, really good man. So we're going to, I'm going to tell him, you know, I'm not in this system. I'm filing common law charges. Everything's going to be done under Article 3 of the Constitution. We're not playing any of your COVID games. This isn't happening. Let's, you know, I want a press release. I want, you know, a jury trial. You know, let's, you know, start.
I know. It's going to be interesting if you can find an attorney that'll do, you know, that kind of thing, because that's where the pressure point is. They go after his
blood. Well, and if he won't do it, then I'll simply say thank you very much, and I'll go find somebody who will. And even though I've paid him, it's all right. He's a good man. So we're gonna talk, because I'm not playing some game.
Well, I went through this in the early 90s in my challenge of the election laws, and it didn't matter how much money I was willing to throw at it. There was no attorney that would take it, you know, so I had to do it myself. I went all the way to the Ninth Circuit oral argument. I got an argument. I got a bunch of early laws changed, but then they just do whatever the hell they want to do anyway. But you I made him say it. I want him to say it. And you want him to say it, and they don't want it said. So how this game is played, we're going to learn from this, from your meeting with your attorney, from his comments on how to do this, the willingness to take on whatever Article 3 or they want to go into Article, whatever the hell, how they want to do this, you know, the jurisdiction of and the federal of the airline of we, I mean, all this crap.
That's right.
Through this before they know how. Right. So do we win? The win is understanding it. It's knowing what they're saying and doing and to what end they'll go to kill us. So that is what I'm, we're going to learn something regardless. So you go through this process, we'll walk it with you.
Well, thank you, Ernie. I appreciate it. Yes. And I'm going to, you know, I'm really frustrated because I didn't know to put UDTF behind my signature. So I feel frustrated. I didn't know you have 72 hours to take away that signature and bring it back into a common law court. I just, you know, and this is why we educate everyone. Always, if you're under any kind of duress, write that down. And then your common law, then you can sue everyone. You can get, you know, I will under constitutional law, charge that flight attendant with impersonating a doctor criminally. I will charge all of them with assault, including the pilot, individually, you know, and at the level of the airline. So I am going to do all of this. And I've already, you know, I've spent the last week when I'm not in a doctor office trying to get my left arm to function again. You know, everyone knows that 16 ounce curls are my favorite thing to do, and I can't do it. That's not working for me. I'm spending all my time on this, and I think evil will be turned into good. We firmly believe in God, and we know that. And maybe I expect you're right. Oops, maybe we shouldn't have done that.
No, inaction is the worst action. You just got to do it with an educational mindset. We're going to do this so we learn does not work, what they are claiming to be. I've done this. I've been an activist for 30 years. And I tell you, you know, a lot of times, one of our most successful methods is when you go at them from two different angles. Right. Say, no, you're acting under the federal whatever, so we're immune from what. Okay, so then, oh, you're a federally. Okay, we go after you federal. Oh, no, we were local and that had nothing to do. So if you do both at the same time, they have nowhere to hide.
Right.
So, you know, it's a lot of time. I mean, I don't know how that would apply to this, but our most successful efforts.
Well, it does, because there are federal and state laws against disabilities. Against discrimination. They violated every federal law. You know, they have to wheel somebody, provide equal accommodation on that flight. They had people in wheelchairs on that flight.
Oh, Dr. Judy, this is such an educational experience for you and everybody else. They do it when they feel like it. I got that are just super crystal clear, and they go, yeah, but we don't care. Oh, okay. That's why you always hear me say, I just want them to say it, you know, because they say it so that you can see the clear answer to what the law says, and it doesn't matter. And we need to know that, because this is what a lot of people, they don't understand. They, well, if you followed the law. No, the law is not there to follow. The law is there to control. Right. What they want is control. They'll use whatever law. They got conflicting laws. They have more laws than they got, you know, things to have a law about. I mean, you know, this is going to be an educational process for us all.
Yep.
Keep doing your other work. This can consume you. You know, I know how this goes. So you got
to I won't let it. I got medicine to do. I got people to help.
Right.
I'm already back to writing the talks. I gave both talks. One of them, I had actually been given an award at the IAOMT, an amazing award honoring courage in medicine. So, that was, you know, I was sitting at my kitchen table doing it instead of being at the party in Sarasota. So, they actually reduced me to tears, which I hadn't had the opportunity to just even grieve the event. So I'm going to go in and meet with my lawyer now, and I appreciate everything. And
you're off.
We'll keep fighting.
Yeah.
Okay, we're fighting.
As long as you don't give up, you win. Boom, done.
I'll never give up.
Dr. Judy Mikovits, hero. You know, I already got movies about it, but there's going to be, you know, my grandchildren are going to learn history. And Dr. Judy, you knew Dr. Judy? Yes, we did. You know, whatever we could. You know, whenever we could. All right. Thanks for coming on and telling the story for us. And we're behind you. And the biggest thing is, I don't give a crap what they say. I just want them to say it. So make them say it, Dr. Judy.
Okay, I will. Thanks, Ernie.
All right. Love you. Bye-bye.